Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshodarel. Hello. On our show, we're trying to find out how to make our life better, how to have better relations, so that we'll get up in the morning and we'll feel happy that we're alive and not sad because we have to go through another day. And looking at the social situation in Israel and around the world, we see that the moral standards are deteriorating. And this is what we'd like to talk about today, good and bad from the moral aspect, in order to really improve our life. Yael, please. Morals is something that we perceive as something very positive, something that advances our society to a better place. A moral person is a good person, a person that keeps love thy neighbor as thyself, respects others, respects the elderly, respects his parents, that behaves according to moral standards, which we as a society see as something good, proper. And also it says in Proverbs, "Hear, my son, the instruction of thy father," and so on. So morals are something very ancient. And I'd like to tell a story from when I was a student. It was Thursday afternoon. I came back from the university with one of the students, and turns out that he's a principal. And the moment I step into the car, this is something that really bothered him. And he tells me that he just took a test and he cheated. And this morning, as a principal, he expelled two students because they cheated on a test. They copied off someone else. And I'm thinking to myself, a person can have certain moral codes when he's performing a certain role in life as a student, other moral codes when he's performing a different role as a principal. And the question is, are morals a good thing, a bad thing, because we have here a person that as if breached the moral codes, but he did good on the test? Were he not to breach the moral codes, he'd probably fail. So, is a moral thing necessarily something good and immoral something bad? I don't know what morals are. Is there such a thing? People say there is, that there is something that seems good for society, for a person, for humanity, and how can something be both good for the environment and humanity and society and for the person? We see that the same morals are good for him but bad for his students or vice versa. So we see that there's no absolute good. And if so, there are no morals that we can say that this is an unbreachable rule unless humanity accepts it and decides that some approach, attitude, relation has a good moral value or a bad moral value. And it changes from generation to generation and from person to person. And in the same person, like we see from your example, very good example, meaning depending towards whom? Who are we talking about? Are we talking about myself or about others? Regarding myself, these are the morals. Regarding someone else, it could be the very opposite. There's nothing that we can measure with respect to a certain rule that fits everyone. It's not a meter or a kilogram or some other measurement that all of us accept, and then all of us behave accordingly. There are no morals. If I find myself in some primitive tribe, someplace, they have different morals. They immediately look at me in terms of how to cook me, eat me. And that's moral. For them, it's moral. There's no question about it. And there are such people that, before they look at a person, they examine whether they're looking at him in a good and nice way, without bias and so on. Meaning, morals include values from zero to infinity. And therefore, there is no moral outlook. Even when it's based on good and bad, where good and bad are relative. And in accordance with human development, we see that since our childhood, from thousands and thousands of years ago, and to this day, where we already passed our youth, and today we're maybe even becoming old, I'd say, humanity. Yeah, it's a humanity. According to the general spirit of things, we're the spirit of technology, economy, the different ways of life. We no longer want to conquer the universe and the depth of the ocean. We're like an old person that I've already been there, done that. And therefore we see that morals are really changing from one generation to the next. When we look at our children, the children that are born now, the youngsters that are running between our legs, we're stunned by their attitude towards life and in general, meaning we're living according to the morals of, suppose, 50 years ago, which was more or less established after World War II. And today all the teenagers, they have the morals of the 21st century, which is new in what way? It's completely new. They don't use the measurements that we have, that through your labor, through studying, through self-dignity, I feel, I understand, I get married, I have children, I build myself as a person in society, I'm proud that I'm accepted, and so on. It entirely lost its value. We can talk about these two generations, even though that it happens with every other generation. I'd say that the good and the bad, especially, it's either we talk on the still vegetative and animate level, on the level of the feeling nature, meaning what's good for the body is good, what's bad for the body is bad. So there's no question about it. Morals begin where the good and bad have no bodily discernment, meaning it's not about what your body feels, but it's about morals, about the idea. Again, there's to feel good and bad, like animals. A dog, a cow, a wolf, monkey, doesn't matter. They know what good and bad is for them. Yes, they feel, right? They have a bodily scrutiny. What's good for my body is good. What's bad for my body is bad. And you can't change them. You can't. We can't beat them and they'll feel that it's good. This is a net bodily scrutiny. Therefore, they have no morals. Nothing changes for them, from generation to generation, but what the body determines, and every time it determines the same. This is how it's advancing. Whereas man is very confused regarding good and bad, because besides the bodily discernments, to lay on the couch, watch the Mundial, that's good. It's excellent. And eating pizza on the way, even better. And so on. Meaning, what my body feels as something good, according to the serotonin that's secreted in my mind, in my brain, the happiness hormone, then it's good. Then everyone has a bit of their own. Also, among animals, there is such, and there are others. I'm not talking about different types. There are dogs that like sitting down. There are dogs that have to run around all the time. There's this person that I know, then he raised dogs that guard the sheep. And it's interesting, that dog used to always sit on the side, never next to a person or next to someone, not even next to other dogs, always sitting on the side, looking at the sheep. That's its nature. And if something's wrong, then it gets up, brings that sheep back to its place, and sits down again. And there are such. I really paid attention because it was very clear. And the others, the three, four together, running around, playing, that dog, a completely different character. So, different animals have different characters, but for people, it's individual for each and every person, and it could also change in a single person. Because for a person, the scrutiny of good and bad is scrutinized not only bodily-wise, but also mentally-wise. What do you mean? It means that a person has the additional matter of the self, the ego, that a person has to satisfy the self to the extent to which the self fills up with lust, honor, control, where these fulfillments, they can be so strong in a person, the deficiency for them, that he doesn't even mind to go and suffer and bring himself to different bad states, but hoping to fulfill himself with all of these human discernments. And therefore, a person is very, very confused. He always examines himself on both levels, good and bad, bodily-wise and humanly-wise. What does it mean, humanly-wise? I'm in a society. I examine myself with respect to society. Animals also have something like that, but for them it's instinctive. We see there are such movies where they meet and they struggle either for a female or for their territory and so on. But that's an instinct. There are special months during the year, special states where they have a struggle. But that's how it's rooted in them. They have to do it. They do it automatically.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas people, for them it's different. For them, the fulfillment on the human level is much higher. It's felt as something that a person needs much more strongly than the fulfillment on the bodily level. And a person is ready to undergo great suffering and travel from one end of the world to the other and sit on an iceberg and walk from pole to pole and whatnot and do such things and to be engaged in some science day and night and cross the desert in order to get human satisfaction, mental satisfaction. What we maybe call spiritual. It's not spirituality, but it's spiritual for a person. And here there are two levels of scrutiny about what good and bad is. Good and bad with respect to my body in the simplest manner. That's according to your habits, your nature, maybe according to your nationality, mentality, and so on. And good and bad in the human aspect, the extent to which one's human demand can be special and exalted. He has to climb a mountain that's several kilometers high and it's life-threatening, but he has to. Without that, a person feels that he doesn't realize himself, that he as if fights that mountain and conquers it, and by that feels that he is a human being. It's not that the mountain knows about it, but a person inside himself builds this kind of picture. So, therefore, we're always in between the bodily good and bad and the human good and bad. And therefore, here we have to see the human development, the extent to which the human development is more exalted than the bodily good and bad. And here we have to say that the ideal person is one whose bodily good and bad will be on the minimum level of demand, meaning to sustain his life in a rational way, not minimum, but rational way, meaning what I need for life is what I need, and that for me is considered good, and less than that, or more than that, for me, is going to be considered as something bad, because I don't want to be addicted to bodily fulfillments, to fill up my body, on the one hand. On the other hand, good and bad on the human level, here I have to see, and this is the main question, how will we scrutinize what's good and what's bad? This is what you were actually asking. What are good and bad from the moral point of view? So we have to examine, what are morals? This is something that already existed in ancient tribes that had very high moral standards in favor of the tribe, the family, for all of them to be together. Each and every one of them was really ready, prepared to sacrifice himself for the benefit of the collective, meaning there was no question about good and bad. Maybe there wasn't a question of good and bad regarding these things. Afterwards, people developed. So, we already see that for them, morals were something different, depending on in which environment, in what society. If we take the Babylonian Talmud or even the Jerusalem Talmud, we see that all the discussions there, if we'll develop them only on the human level, it's also morals. The one says it's good, the other says it's bad. The one says this is preferable, the other says that's preferable. Regarding some absolute measure, everyone sees it one way or another. But actually, these are also morals. If we take religion, a believing person, meaning he takes something, he takes a certain discernment as something correct, good, even if it doesn't look good according to different other measurements, like what? Let's not take Judaism because it's very complex. Let's take, suppose there's a king, French, German king, Karl or Ludwig or someone, comes the Pope, sanctifies him. Now, from this moment and on, everyone has to work for the benefit of the king. What the king says is good. If the king says that something's bad, then it's bad. Meaning, my good and bad are determined from above. From above, meaning the regime, religion. Yeah. And I gave an example that It could suddenly be a different king. Why do we want to overthrow him? Because we want to get a new measure for what's good and what's bad. What did the French do with their revolution? They wanted to get a new measure instead of a king, to have freedom. There are three things. By the way, this exists nowadays too. Every time we want to crown someone new, to bring some new morals with them, this is what happens during the elections. Right, we're operating according to the same rules. This is what I want to say, that all of humanity, since ever and to this day, are using the same rules, are using the same concepts of good and bad, without really understanding what good and bad is, either out of habit or because it was decided by someone, and this is how we live. Also in our world, where we're as if not religious, I'm talking about society in general, where it's not religious values that tell us what's good and what's bad. It's still religion. It's still religion. This is how we yield towards these things. Someone sets the morals, someone says so, and that's how it is. Meaning the moral code changes from generation to generation, nation to nation, culture to culture, and it determines what humanity sees as good or bad. So, talking about our times, what should we determine as a moral code? So, we're undergoing a crisis during which we have to determine what's good and what's bad. Really, because our entire development to this day, we have to bring it to the new correct discernments that this was a bad kind of development because it was for the benefit of the body, for the benefit of the ego. Maybe it was moral, but morally incorrect, where what we say about our morals is a lie. Explain, please. That everything that a person does, eventually he does for his own benefit, and not for the benefit of the environment, and not for the benefit of humanity, not outside of himself, but always for his own benefit, one way or another, and everything that people develop throughout history, they developed it only in order to justify themselves. Their philosophy, their religion, everything in order to justify themselves. And therefore, everyone is more righteous than the other, and therefore, we're all in collision. This religion against that religion, these morals against those morals, this society against that society. There's always the dispute of who's better, who's just. Not just because justice, let's leave it aside, but good. We're talking about good and bad. And therefore, we really have to perform a simple self-scrutiny here, where our entire development up till now was an egoistic kind of development, where we always measured things whether it's good for our animalistic body or for our human degree. And from this day on, we have to open a clean slate in our history and introduce the new morals, which are what? Which says that what I do for the benefit of society, for the benefit of society that's outside of me. Society meaning the connection between people where everyone works for the benefit of others. Everyone. And then we talk about society like some kind of a spiritual structure that if I'm in favor of everyone and everyone else does the same, then where is this for the benefit of everyone? It's above us. It's like the concept of society is in the air, and then we're working towards this concept in order to bestow to each other, to benefit each other, to build a state between us which is truly good. And good is that no one is concerned with himself, but cares only for the benefit of others. It's not equality or freedom, like in the French Revolution, but it's all for the benefit of the upper idea, which is above our nature. And what is the higher idea, superior idea, that we rise above our nature and we determine that good is what's outside of a person for the benefit of society, of human society. And then we reach a new balance. And what is the role of the morals in society then? To raise society to the degree of the upper nature, meaning to develop society to a higher level, that is the role of morals? Yes. That will differentiate our animalistic part from our human part. In the beginning, you said that both an individual and humanity at large, we have different phases of development, and that now we are in a period of old age, as if. And therefore, what is the next phase? Because our time's almost up. What comes next after old age? A new life, which is building a society in which a person dissolves in, and then out of all of us, we build one structure, a human being, Adam in Hebrew. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.